hem of his clothes. That's just one of the stories that everybody knows. Oh, I know the facts, but I'd love to feel what the blind man felt when his eyes were healed. He went running through the streets to share.
I wish I could have been there when the thousands were fed with just two fish and some bread to see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to see the lame that could lead, hear the dumb that could speak,
and see the multitudes of people Jesus blessed.
I wish I could have seen the stone that went a-rolling away when they looked inside the door to where the grave clothes lay. I didn't see, but I believe that he ascended in the air, and I really wish I could have been there.
Me too.
He commanded Lazarus to walk right out of his grave, and in a Galilean storm he started coming the waves. I wanna feel that breeze blowing on my face, I wanna know the smell, I wanna taste the taste, just a reading that it couldn't compare.
I wish I could have been there when the thousands were fed with just two fish and some bread, and see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to see the lame that could lead, hear the dumb that could speak,
and see the multitudes of people Jesus blessed.
I wish I could have seen the stone that went a-rolling away when they looked inside the door to where the grave clothes lay. I didn't see, but I believe that he ascended in the air, and I really wish I could have been there.
I wish I could have
been there when the thousands were fed with just two fish and some bread, and see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to see the lame that could lead, hear the dumb that could speak,
and see the multitudes of people Jesus blessed.
What a day.
What a day. And I really wish I could have been there.
I will be there one day. I tell you, I hate to stop that singing because it's just good. I'm here to tell you, it's just good. Sorry about that little background. Got that took care of. And it's a joy to be here. I'm not there, but I'm here. How about that? I will be there, and it won't be long. I will be there, and it won't be long. Now, we're doing a program today that's kindly, well, it's a breathtaking program, really. It's one that you really need to know about. Everybody out there needs to know about this program. It's not one that everybody wants to know about, I must confess that, because it's a program about what happens to the wicked at death. What happens to the wicked at death, and what happens to the righteous at death. You know, when you begin to deal with these subjects, they are breathtaking. They really are. They're wonderful. They are beyond measure. They are exciting to get yourself into and to learn all about. And so we're here to learn about them. We're here to talk about them. And I want you involved with me. Now, you have the phone numbers there. I'll bring them back a little later. But I hope you've already got them written down in your little mind and heart. And I want you to be on the phones and on the internet with me. And I want today to really answer questions. I really want to answer questions. Hellfire is a horrible thing to think about. But it's a real thing. It really does exist. It really does exist. But heaven is even so wonderful beyond my words to describe it. You know, why would anybody have to go to hell when they can't go to heaven? Because Jesus made the provision for everybody to go to heaven. It is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, don't you forget that. Those are words you don't ever want to forget. It's not his will that you perish. If you perish, it's your own doing. If you perish, if you go to hell, it's your own doing. Do you hear me? Do you understand? And I say that with nothing but love. Every time I begin to even think about hell, it tears my heart apart. It tears my heart apart. 3 or 4 mornings ago, I woke up, I guess it was 3 or 4 o'clock, laying in my bed, and I began to pray for backsliders whom I know about. People who have turned from the way of the Lord and have forsaken the right way and the way of truth. And they're lost. They're lost. Many of them don't even know it. But they're lost. And they're going to spend eternity in hell. And I lay there weeping, tears running down my face in bed in the night. Because I was weeping for the lost. I don't want anybody to be lost. But I can't stop it. You only. Only you. Jesus has done all he can do. He died on the cross for your sins. If you go to hell, it's absolutely your responsibility. And you go because you choose to reject Christ. You choose to do your own thing. You choose to go your own way. You choose to reject the way of the Lord and the great things of God. And let me do a couple of things here to begin with. Let's go to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, and hold your place because we'll go right back to the book of Luke. In the book of Revelation 21 and verse 7, Jesus had some very pointed things to say. And these are extremely important. Revelation 21 verse 7, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things." He that overcometh shall inherit all things. "And I will be his God, and he shall be my son," or sons, "my sons and daughters." Now listen, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things." But listen, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderer and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, I'm telling you folks, there are some things you need to really learn and get in this Bible and get them fixed in your mind and your heart so that you understand. We're going to go back today. Well, let's go to Isaiah. Let me read a verse there that's really kind of overwhelming. "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure." Hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And this is rejoiceth over wickedness, over evil, over the ungodly paths and the ungodly ways. Love money more than they love God. Love pleasure more than they love worship. Love the things that please them more than they love the thoughts of pleasing God. Now, the Bible makes it plain that hell is unquestionably an eternal place. It is a place of fire and brimstone and sorrow and misery. Now, I would like to take you, and as a kind of centrality of this broadcast, look at the words of Jesus Christ. I mean, no name, no voice, no person can even come close to the level of his divine being, of his great person. He has a name which is above every name, that every man, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Now, if you'll go in the book of Luke to chapter 16 and verse 19, that's where I want to do go for my text today, and I want you to ask me any question about these words of the Lord Jesus Christ that it would please you to ask me. I want to help you. I don't want nobody to let this broadcast end and not have your question answered. I really do. I mean that with all my heart. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom." It came to pass the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom, okay? "And the rich man died and was buried." Now, there's not even an end to that sentence. There's a colon there. "And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." Now, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave us this story. He named Lazarus because Lazarus had a specific name. He didn't name the rich man because in hell, the wicked no longer are remembered by name. The names of the wicked perish. the names of the wicked vanished. Now listen to that. That's an overwhelming thought. The names of the wicked are never remembered. And they're cast into hell, and that's the end of them, of course, until they go to the lake of fire at the white throne judgment, and then for eternity. They are nothing but lost individuals. Lost individuals. Now, friend, if you can understand what happens to a wicked man, an unsaved man. Now, let me look at those two thoughts there. The wicked and the unsaved. The wicked and the unsaved. That's two different categories. There's a lot of wicked people. I mean, they live like the devil. They are wicked. They're godless. Many of them have treated family members, murderers. I mean, you're talking about thieves, liars. There are many wicked people in our world, and they're terribly wicked. And the Bible says at this very point, the moment they die and they're buried, but they're in hell before they're buried. They literally go to hell within seconds. If your unsaved loved one dies, they will be in hell before you celebrate their funeral. That's just the way it is. Now, not only are the wicked going to go to hell, but the unsaved are going to go to hell. Those who are not living underneath the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ are lost forever. Those, now listen to me. I want to say it as clear as I know how to say it. Those who are not living under the sacrificial blood, those who have not been saved, are born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, will go immediately to hell even before the choir sings at their church funeral. Or even before the preacher can say amen when he's finished. Even before the undertaker can get to your house and pick up that body or the hospital or wherever it is. I want you to understand that. Now that's not easy. That's not something I love saying. That's not something I say with some, some gusto. It's overwhelming to me. It's really overwhelming to me. But you heard me read it. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments with an S on it, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, I'll come back to that because I want to go to him when he begins to talk with the Lord, with Abraham, about his brothers who are still living. And he wants to send Lazarus back to the home of his family, his brothers, those he loves, and warn them not to come to this awful place. Isn't that a breathtaking part of this story that Jesus gave us? Now, you can't take it to be anything but a real story because the man who went to heaven was named. The man who went to heaven was named. And there would have been many stories that the Son of God knew that he could have told you about that. But these stories are really just plain overwhelming. Now, they are. Now, when you get ready, you grab your phone and the ladies are standing by. You can email me the phone number and I'll go back and give that to you again. Write it under you. 1-800-338-7884. That's our toll-free number all over Canada, all over America. And then our local number, all within the regions here around Charlotte, 704-391-0588. You can see them, write them down, JRC at paulcreek.org. That's my email. That comes right in here on my computer, and I will go to that in a little while and try my best to answer your questions. Now, let me say some things. You do understand the righteous die, and they immediately, Paul said it. He said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's how Paul said it. And by the way, let me see if I wrote down, that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. The righteous, the godly. The Bible says to be present, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So just as quick as the wicked are in hell, the righteous are in a place of paradise. The righteous are in a place of paradise, unquestionably. Now, you may say, is there really a fire, literal fire in hell? When you think of all the times this Bible mentions fire and brimstone, You think of the different terminologies that are used over and over. My friend, there is no doubt about it. Now, I have prepared a booklet. It's really entitled The Unsaved and Wicked at Death. But there's a picture here of the final judgment. The final judgment. And we'll go to the phones. They're already ringing. I'm delighted. But I want to give you this booklet. And this is all about hell, all about hellfire, all about where the wicked will go. And it really gives you such information and so many scriptures. I mean, so many scriptures. There's no way to doubt what's in that material. It's just that overwhelming. It really is. Now, let me take the phone calls. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir, Brother Chambers. This is Brother Sam Burke from Lower South Carolina.
Hey, Brother Sam.
I just wanted to add to Luke chapter 16, there with the rich man, and Lazarus lifted up his eyes. Rich man lifted up his eyes.
Yes.
Said, Father Abraham.
Yes.
Now, this man was dead, and he looked up, and yet he knew Abraham. And Abraham had long been passed away because he told his brother, he said, you have Moses and the prophets. Listen to them. And when you die, you're separated from God, but you know all the words you heard all your life.
Yeah, you know everything you've ever known. You have a full consciousness.
And there's nothing you can do about it, but you know everything you heard about God from God's man was true.
Well, you're right, my dear brother. I thank you for adding that. You're a little bit ahead of me, but I don't mind. We're here together, and you're my guest, and we want to help people. This whole broadcast comes out of a pastor's heart. Out of a man, I'm 80 years old, and I won't soon be on the other side. To be absent from the body is going to be for me to be present with the Lord, and that's a wonderful thing. I think about it, and sometimes I just want to rejoice and just go home, you know, catch the next trip out. But I want to stay here as long as he'll let me and warn people about the coming of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you, sir, and thank you for caring about the wicked. And keep on being a soul winner, really. Did you know that the average person won more souls the first 3 years they were saved than they ever win later? Because when you first saved, you're so conscious of where you were, and you don't want nobody else to stay there. And so you go to work on the lost and be a soul winner, sir. Will you please promise me that?
Yes, sir, I'll do my best.
Thank you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes. Some years ago, after I accepted Christ, I met a woman in Bisco, North Carolina, very wonderful Christian woman, and she said years earlier in her community, a man was on his deathbed in the front room of his house, and he started screaming for his sons, his grown boys, to pull him up higher in the bed because he could already feel his feet on fire.
Yeah, there were many stories of that before we invented so many of these drugs that knock them into unconsciousness.
That's what I was going to ask you. I've heard old-fashioned preachers say, if people didn't get so doped up at the hospital, you'd start hearing things like this.
Absolutely. You would hear it all the time. I mean, when you get close to hell, see, the distance between here and all the universe is not as far as people think it is. It's only far in a human sense, but it's not far in the sense of the divine and the great spiritual world. And so when wicked people go to hell, there have been many experiences in the past. I have a booklet on the death of Voltaire, that noted atheist. And when he was dying, he literally went into bananas. He became so insane that the infidels of his community would try to bar the door to keep anybody from going in and seeing the misery of this man on the verge of going to hell.
I'm glad you mentioned his name because Thomas Jefferson had a high regard for him. And my wife and I were at Monticello. We went out in the garden, and I had that on my mind, and I saw a plant called a coxcomb. And a coxcomb is a rooster crown, and I remember that John Wesley, the great founder of the Methodist Church, he said, I consider Voltaire nothing but a coxcomb.
Oh, brother. Well, he was just a wicked man, and he was an atheist, but he was a smart man. And you know, so many smart people think that they've got more sense than God, you know? And so they reject the Bible. And the whole thing I'm dealing with today, the whole thing, in a few moments, I've got a list of 8 categories of people whom the Bible says will be assigned to hell and to lake of fire. 8 categories. It's in this booklet I've got, and everybody out there ought to get it, because you need it. It will be on the internet. We are in a transition change to a brand new internet program and plan, and so I hope this won't be missed. I'll make sure of that. But we want to get it in as many hands as possible. My brother, we are so close. We're so close. And my heart just tires me. I know so many people who used to walk with God, who used to be godly people. They lived separated lives. They were pure and holy. Women that dressed godly and pure and holy. Men that were careful in all their conduct. And that all of that's almost gone. And most people who profess Christianity today live just exactly like the world. And it just tires me out of my frame.
A woman told me a few hours ago something that blessed my heart. We were talking about the state of the churches, and this woman was telling me that one of the Methodist churches in this area, the pastor said, I will go to jail before I perform a same-sex ceremony, and I wish everybody in the denomination had that position.
Thank God for that preacher. There are good people everywhere, brother. There's good people all over this globe. There's good people all over America. And I am grateful for that. I am grateful for that. But I'm telling you, regardless of how good people are, really, they got to be born again. They got to be washed in the blood. I mean, hell's going to be full of good people who lived decent lives, who loved people, but who were not born again.
Exactly.
You
need the Holy Ghost.
That tires me out of my heart, brother.
Yeah.
Well, listen, God bless you. Thank you for calling. I've got to see what I got here. That's it. God bless you. Give us a call quickly. Thank you, my friend. Give us a call quickly. We want you on the phone today. I don't want nobody to miss hearing something or asking some question that interests you. And I mean, you want to call and say, I don't believe in hell. I don't believe hell is a real place. Well, you're welcome. I will take the scripture and show you. You don't believe the Bible. If you don't believe the Bible, you're going to be lost. Ain't no doubt about that. If you don't believe the Bible, you're going to be eternally lost. And you must not doubt that Bible. You must not doubt that Bible. Now grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. That's our local number. Email jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, jrc@paulcreek.org. Something that I want to mention today. When people begin to question hell, they begin to question torment, the word torment. They begin to question these things. They are forgetting some wonderful things about this great Bible. This great Bible tells the story of demons. Demons who knew that torment was coming. And I just was overwhelmed when I read this today. I hope I didn't lose my place here. All right, the book of Mark chapter 5. Let me take a moment. You call 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, jrc@paulcreek.org. I want to hear from you now. Hey, let me tell you something. I've got a preacher man that's going to be preaching in this pulpit tomorrow. He's coming to Charlotte. He'll take a job a couple of years till we get this building paid for. And then we are planning and training this young man toward being an assistant pastor to Brother Chambers. We also have a youth pastor who is very much in training also to be a leader in this church. Our youth pastor is Dylan Beatty. Many of you may know him. This young man coming to preach tomorrow is Joseph Gans. He's coming from Oklahoma. His dad is one of the best preachers. Oh, he just preached a revival over in Gastonia week before last at a great church. And I went 2 nights. I'm here to tell you. Brother Joseph's dad is one of those greatest preachers, but Joseph is right behind his daddy. I'm not going to tell you he's as good as daddy, because it takes time to become as good as Bruce Gans. But Joseph Gans is a wonderful young man and a great preacher. And you will love in the morning, tomorrow morning and tomorrow evening. In the morning, the service starts at 10 to 11. Tomorrow evening at 6. Listen now. In the morning at 10 till 11, that's 10:50. 10:50, and tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. I hope you'll come. I want everybody out there who's really praying for Paul Creek and Brother Chambers, and you want to be a part of a great Holy Ghost revival in this city, come be with us tomorrow. We're kind of celebrating this young man coming to Charlotte to get in here and get a job and then help Brother Chambers. Brother Chambers is past 80 now, and sometimes I want to sit when I'm getting up. And sometimes I want to get up, not get up, I guess is the way to say it. But I'm still doing seven days a week, and I'm still doing, 10, 12 hours a day. I'm just trying to quit the 14, 16-hour days that I've lived in now about 59 years, Brother Dylan has got to help me with that, and also Brother Joseph, and they're going to. I mean, God's got some plans for us, my friend. God's got some plans for us, and I want you to be part of it. Now, make sure you come tomorrow, would you? Would you do that for me? All over my listening audience. Now, I don't want those in Africa to come. You couldn't get here by tomorrow. Well, you can come next week. Anybody anywhere in the world can come visit us. You'll be welcome. All right, let's take this call. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Hi, Pastor. Okay. I wonder if you could just give me a little enlightening on a situation that's been kind of happening, ever so often in my life. I'm a dreamer. I have such vivid dreams, and but there's this one particular dream that I keep having ever so often, like I said, and I could never get help. I'm yelling for help.
Well, let me tell you now. Let me give you some reasons why you dream those kind of dreams. Everybody will maybe have a bad dream occasionally. Everybody will have a dream that maybe don't fit their moral standards occasionally. And I mean, we all have that. That's the enemy coming against us. But you could be eating too much at night before you go to bed, if you don't mind me being kindly honest with you. Don't eat big meals and go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been eating big meals before you go to bed?
No, sir. That's the thing.
Okay. Then don't be eating big meals before you go to bed. Number one. Number two, live right. If you live right during the day and you've been born again and your sins have been washed away, that brings you peace. And you can quote Psalms 23, very clearly, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. You need to go to sleep, go to bed, and go to sleep quoting the Bible, quoting the Scripture. When you quote the Scripture, then if you hadn't prayed before you went to bed, which you should do, you ought to pray after you go to bed. And seek the face of God. The Lord, it sounds like to me, you're being hammered by the devil who's after every one of us. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, okay? Now, are you born again?
Yes, sir. And
wait a minute now. Are you born again? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right. You build on that, and I'm going to pray for you and bind this old spirit. I still believe it sounds like a spirit is hammering you, and you have a right as a believer to trust in Christ and in the name of Jesus to bind that old spirit, and it has to go. Now, Father, here is a lady having these crazy dreams, and I don't want to hear anymore because I don't want it going out on the air and maybe confusing somebody or making somebody out there afraid. I'm asking you for the miracle in her life. Bind this spirit. Command it to go. And Father, give her a heart to live in that Bible and go to bed with Christ on her mind, trusting Him. In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name.
I'm going to pray for you now. God bless your heart.
Thank you.
God bless you. Well, helping a soul like this is a very interesting thing to me, but I want to be careful because I don't want the wrong things to go out there. I hope you can understand that. You don't have to have miserable nights. Jesus wants to make you peaceable, and He wants to give you peace. Now, let me go back to this story, because I want you to hear this. This is a young man that was demon-possessed, called the Gadarian. He was from Gadara. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped Him. and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Now the man ran to worship Jesus, but the demons began to talk. See, the demons began to talk. For he said unto him, Come out of the man. This is what Jesus said before the demons started arguing with him. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered and said, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. The demon said, Don't send us out of the country. Don't send us where we have no place to dwell. And he besought him that he would not send them out of the country. Now there was nigh there unto the mountain a great herd of swine, that's pigs, feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, all the devils now, this man's got a bunch of them, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forward Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. Now, I want to tell you something, my friend. Listen to me. And they that fed the swine fled and told in the country what had happened. Now, those demons even said to Jesus, and I don't have that scripture marked, we know thee who thou art. Thou art the Son of God. Have you come to torment us before thy time? Time. These demons knew that the time of torment was coming. And they cried out to Jesus, Have you come to torment us before our time? Now you need to understand, if God knew it, and Jesus knew it, and Matthew knew it, and John knew it, and the angels knew it, and now the devils knew it, how can you doubt that there's going to be an eternal place of punishment? How can you doubt that, my friend? How can you doubt that, my friend? That day is coming. Now, call me quickly. I don't want anybody to miss getting something answered that may be on your heart. Let me go here and take a look. And I always have to be very careful to see if there are any scriptures. Here is our questions. I'm sorry. Revelation 19:20. The beast, the false prophet, are cast alive into the lake of fire. Why won't they be killed during the battle of Armageddon? Now, the scripture says they'll be cast alive into the lake of fire. And this person wants to know why they're not killed. Well, I can say the most horrible thing can happen to them is to go alive. That really is no different. Dying and going to hell the next second and just going straight to hell, not really any different. So I would say I can't answer, except that's the way the Lord does it. And that's good enough for me. I just want him to end this whole miserable, hellish thing that we're dealing with. And I want you to miss it. I don't want you to go. I don't want you to go. Now, while you're calling, the number to call, 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Let me mention again, preacher tomorrow, Brother Joseph, I like his name, Joseph Gans, a great preacher, young man. Oh, I'm telling you, a precious young man, wife and two children. They'll be coming in later today. They are coming through Kentucky right now. His mother-in-law and father-in-law live in Kentucky. And so they're on their way in. And so pray for them and come hear Brother Joseph preach in the morning. I hope you will. I really do. Tomorrow evening also. Very important. Now, school. Our school starts 2 weeks from Monday. 2 weeks from Monday. No, sorry. 1 week from Monday. Our school starts 1 week from Monday. Our teachers go to work Monday. Now, if you haven't rested your children in a good Christian school, I hope you don't wait. And I just can tell you that you won't find it better than Paul Creek. Our curriculum is wonderful. Abeka, the best curriculum, the best Christian curriculum in the world is Abeka. And that's what we have. I know the owner and the very man who created this great ministry, Dr. Horton, a very personal man and a very good man. And so I want you to make sure you get in the school. this school. I think this is the best one. I really do. So make sure you come Monday. I wouldn't wait past Monday. I don't know what day. I think maybe we've got some classes full. I'm not really sure. But we're thinking about starting a new class. However, there's a full class if we have the right interests, and we believe we will. And don't wait past Monday to get over here at Paul Creek Christian Academy, 5110 Tuckasegee Road, and get registered, okay? Very, very important. Very, very important. And don't forget to go to our website within the next 3 or 4 days. It's going to be brand new, and it's going to be breathtaking. Oh, I am overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. We just got to reach more people. We got to see more people saved. That's what's burdened my heart today, is seeing people saved. Now, I've got eight biblical categories of people whom the Bible says will be cast into the lake of fire. Eight categories of people whom the Bible says will be cast into the lake of fire. And I'm going to start that in a minute. I got a call. I need to take that. And I will do my best in between my calls. So you keep calling. I want to hear from you. You are very important to me. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes. I wanted to know which scripture that was that gives the sins that would have you to be thrown into hell.
All right. Now, I'm fixing to give those eight different categories. I will probably give the location of the scripture. I don't have time to read them. But if you'll talk to the ladies in the office, you can order this booklet. It'll be sent to you no later than Tuesday. And you'll have all of that in your hands. Okay?
Okay.
Have you told, to go back and let me put you on hold, and you go tell the ladies that you want to be on the mailing list to get this, okay? Will you do that?
Yes.
All right. Line one, ladies. Make sure you get that lady's name and number, okay? Now, listen. Let me read you the categories. You keep calling. I'll interrupt all my talk just to answer your calls and your questions. Number one. The Bible says the children of this world's kingdom. Now notice it said kingdom. The children of this world's kingdom. Let me read it to you. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. People who live for this world instead of living for Christ. That's what he's saying. The children of the kingdom of this world. Now that's scary. But that's what the Bible says. And those words belong to Jesus. They're in Matthew 8, verses 11 through 12. Matthew 8, verses 11 through 12. The children of the kingdom of this world. Now that means adults too. He's talking about the whole class of people who love the world, who live for the world, whose life is caught up in the world, who spend their time for the world, who don't go to church, don't care about church, who have no surrender to Christ. They've never been born again. They don't trust the Savior. They don't live a life by the commandments and standards of the Bible. They live for the world. And he says they will be cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the Bible says the selfish and worldly. The selfish and worldly who live for themselves. The selfish and worldly. Now, that scripture is in Luke chapter 16, verses 23 through 26. Okay? Those are people. First was the kingdom of this world. And there's not much difference in those two. But they're worded different in the scripture. And so I give them to you different in the scripture. Number three, the unprofitable servants. The unprofitable servants. Now, some people argue with that. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be gnashing. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, the unprofitable servant. That's number three. Okay, the unprofitable servant. Let me take a call, and I'll be right back to you. I don't want to miss a call. You on the air? May I help you, please?
Yeah. Good afternoon. Got two quick questions. Is hell, you know, scripture plays Hades, is that actually right?
Hades is hell. Same word, just a different, same Greek word, but just a different name. Sometimes, you see, you got an upper Sheol. That's another word is used. Upper Sheol and lower Sheol. The upper Sheol is where the righteous in the Old Testament went to wait for Jesus to come and die on the cross. Now, that's where Abraham's bosom was, that I read the story in the book of Luke. But then there's lower Sheol. That's the wicked. That's where the ungodly go. That's where hellfire is.
Okay, is that so? If a Christian dies right now, they go to Abraham's bosom?
No. That changed when Jesus was resurrected. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he went into Hades, the upper Sheol part. And he set the captives free and took them with him when he arose, and they went to heaven to wait the day of their resurrection. They don't have a body yet. They simply have a spirit and soul are with the Lord. Now, when someone dies, Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In the Old Testament, it was to go to Abraham's bosom, but now it's to go to the presence of Jesus.
So there's an actual heaven. I mean, if a Christian dies right now, you're actually, okay, in heaven?
You actually go to heaven, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Immediately, with the presence of Jesus. Right up there where the streets are gold and the city is glorious. Heaven is just as real as this earth is. In fact, it is more real than this earth. Heaven, God in heaven created this earth. So the earth is somewhat of a second tier to heaven.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Because I've been newly saved. That's why I'm still learning. But
oh, you need to be in a church that preaches these things now. So many preachers don't preach nothing but pretty stuff.
Right. Because sometimes I'll listen to, I don't care for him, but Joel Osteen, and he says he's not going to talk about heaven.
Now, I don't think I would listen to Joel Osteen. He is, it isn't what he says, it's what he don't say.
Right.
You understand the difference?
Yeah.
I've never heard him, but he just says this plastic stuff. It's nothing but plastic religion. That's all he's got. Plastic religion, like a piece of plastic. I mean, it has no biblical validity. It will not even take you to heaven. That's right.
Right. To me, sounds like a motivational speaker.
That's exactly what he is, a motivational speaker. As one Baptist preacher said, he's sending people to hell with a good attitude.
Right. It was scary, yeah.
Yeah, it is scary. Thank you for calling, dear lady.
Okay, thank you.
God bless your heart. Now keep calling 1-800-338-7884. Number four. Let me cut that off. Number four, multitudes who were undisciplined as children. Did you know that to raise children undisciplined is to help send them to hell? Don't mean every one of them has to go, but listen to this. Withhold not correction from the children, for if thou beat him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. That's the writings of Proverbs. David Solomon. You see, they wrote us those kind of wonderful things that warn us. Many children will spend eternity in hell because they were raised undisciplined. They don't know how to discipline nothing. And you got to be a disciplined person to turn to Christ. If you're undisciplined and you have no control of your life and you're just like a city without a wall, you have no battle on you, then you're not ever likely to be born again. It would take a masterful stroke of the Holy Spirit to bring you to conviction, to bring a person to be saved who's undisciplined. And we've got a world full of undisciplined people, and very few of them will ever come to Christ because they have no ability to make any kind of decision that has any validity to it. You understand? I hope you understand that. All right, number five, those who offend and do iniquity. Those who are offend and do iniquity. In other words, they just go around offending people and doing all kinds of sinful things. You say, Brother Chambers, now wait a minute. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. Listen now. do iniquity, and they shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and they shall be tormented forever. Now you say, oh, wait. Matthew 12, go read it. I'm sorry, Matthew 13, go read it. Nobody talked as much about hell in the Bible as Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? The loudest voice to warn people about hell was the voice of the great Son of God. Now, number six, those who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number seven, whosoever was not found written in the book of life. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life. And then the last one, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderer, the whoremonger, the sorcerer, the idolater. And you can go on and add to that the sodomites and just wicked men and women of every description. They shall spend eternity in hell. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Wow. Now you say, Brother Chambers, you scare the devil out of me. I hope I did. I would like to scare the devil out of you. I would like to scare hell out of you. I don't mean using that now as slang words. I'm using that to tell you that Satan wants to take you to hell. And hell is your destiny if you don't know Jesus and you haven't been born again. And I want to get you saved and born again and get you ready to go to heaven. Oh, Brother Chambers, you've scared me. What can I do? All you have to do is turn to Christ with all of your heart. We're saved by faith through grace, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. The Bible said, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Repent. That means turn from your past. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your sinful life. Turn from living like this world and dressing like this world and talking like this world and going to worldly, unpure, impure places. Turn from all of that and turn to Christ. Give Him your life. Turn to the cross. Make Jesus the center of your life and love Him and serve Him. And you are just, I'm here to tell you, it is so simple to get ready to go to heaven. It is so simple to get ready to miss going to eternal hell. And you will go to eternal hell if you do not come to Christ and surrender your life to Him. Or you say, well, I'll wait till I'm just about to die. Let me tell you something. Most people who wait till just about to die have no consciousness and no capacity. Because you cannot turn to Christ unless the Holy Spirit is dealing with you. Lest the Holy Spirit is gripping you. If while I'm talking, you're trembling and you're feeling a real shaking and you're concerned and you feel fearful and you feel apprehensive. That's the Holy Spirit, and He's calling you to Himself. He's calling you to take you to Christ and to take you to be washed in the shed blood of the Son of God and to save you. Hey, I want to help you know Jesus. I want to help you surrender your life to Christ. I care about you. I love you. And I'm telling you, you've got to understand, the moment you die, there is no such thing as a purgatory where somebody can pray you out of it. That's a lie from hell. Are you listening to me? Purgatory is a lie from hell. It don't exist. There is no in-between. There is no holdover place where there's a second chance. It don't exist, friend. If it existed, it'd be in that Bible. You must come to Christ before you die. And I warn you to come to Christ before you get old and feeble and before you lose your mind in some kind of dementia, before you get Alzheimer's, before you... So when you wind up in a hospital and you are dying, they're going to give you so much morphine and so much drugs that you will have no possibility of surrendering to Christ. You hear me now. You hear me now. And most times I hear about deathbed repentance and it's just a lot of nothing. I mean, I can tell it. You can listen to these people talk about getting saved on their deathbed. Now, I know it's possible and I have known it to happen. I've known it to happen. I remember a dear man that I loved so much, and I went to his house about a year before he died, and I got on my knees in front of him. I couldn't get him in church. His wife was a faithful member, a good, godly woman. She's with the Lord now, and I'll never forget getting on my knees in front of his chair. He was sitting there, hardly able to get up. Please, let me tell you, don't wait. You've been my friend these years. I don't want you to go to hell, and I begged him to turn to Christ, and he wasn't ready. Now, I'll never forget, I was in the sanctuary praying in the altar, and I heard my phone rang, and I went out and said, this man's calling to see if you'd pray for him. And I said, I'll come to his house. I went to his house and got on my knees beside that bed, and that man started praying. He started asking God to forgive him. He started apologizing to God for all the years he'd rejected, and boy, it wasn't but a little bit that he was saved. It was no doubt about it, and he talked about it everywhere he went. He was a new man. Didn't go many places. He lived a few months and then went on to be with the Lord. And so there are some deathbed repentance, and I don't want to take that hope away from somebody who may have a loved one who got saved on their deathbed, but I want to tell you, it's no game to play. It's really not something you ought to mess with. Now, I've got time for a few more calls. This program, as far as I'm concerned, has been one of my best. I'm not here to play a game. I'm not here to have programs that make me look sweet and smart and big and smart and you know, and intelligent. I'm not here for that. I'm not here to be bragged on and to be. I'm just not here for that. I got one life to live for Christ, and when it's past, that's my reward. That's all I will have. And I've got to fight a good fight. I've got to finish my course. I've got to keep the faith. For Paul said, henceforth, there is laid up for me, him and me, and anybody else, a crown of righteousness, and to all them that love his appearing, that great scripture says. And I'm telling you, there's no time to play games. It's time to get right with God. It really is. Now, anybody else, what question do you have? What can I say? Let me take you back to that great scripture, a very important. I want to take you back and end with this, if the Lord's willing. Let me find my location here, the book of Luke chapter 16. I want you to understand very clearly how real hell is. And I think the words of Lazarus to Jesus are the most breathtaking. Listen to this. And Abraham, but Abraham said, son, remember thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from this to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, listen, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, as Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have four brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torments. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. Tell him the story. Tell him the story of Lazarus and Father Abraham and the exact thing that Jesus said happened. Only Jesus could have known that. Only Jesus could have known that. That was all happening beyond the pale of death. That was all happening after Lazarus had died. That was happening in Abraham's bosom. Jesus knew it. None of the rest of those disciples knew it. Nobody else could have known a word that was being said. But Jesus knew it, and Jesus told it. And he said that this man, Lazarus, said, Father Abraham, please, please. I mean, he's begging him, send Lazarus. If he rises from the dead, they know he's died. They know he's been buried. And he shows up at their house, and they know he's been dead. And they see him, they'll hear him, he thought. And they will repent and tell him to tell them about this horrible place. And of course, you know the story. Jesus said, if they won't listen to the preacher. I mean, it's just like if somebody rose from the dead and went to the house of somebody I know and tried to beg them to get saved, and they won't listen to Brother Chambers or some other man of God who's preaching the word. That's not going to do any good. They're not going to listen. People who've made up their mind are not going to listen. And when they really see the end of this, there ain't going to be no answer. And there's not going to be anything they can do when this ends. And friend, you got to understand this. This picture is breathtaking. It just kind of takes your heart away. The moment a person dies, they are already facing eternity, and they're already either in the presence of angels or in the presence of demons. The moment they die. So all of you listening to me, all of you that are unsaved, all of you who have rejected Christ, those of you who have no time for Him, those of you hearing me in Gastonia, all over Charlotte, those who are hearing me down in Monroe, over in Concord, those who are hearing me all over the eastern end of North Carolina, Fayetteville, wherever you live, those who are hearing me in Myrtle Beach, those who are hearing me in Lake City, South Carolina, you know, all those places, you know, Darlington, those hearing me up in West Virginia and all over Virginia, those hearing me up in Maryland, those hearing me by telecast all over the world. Listen, it's almost over. It's almost over. It's almost over. And your chance to get right with God is at the door. You've got to hear me say that to you. I'm telling you, my heart is moved to help you turn to God. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a question about two things in the book of Isaiah. I think one of them was Isaiah 10 and 23 about the consumption. You know a whole lot about that. And in Isaiah 28 and 22...
Wait a minute, consumption, Isaiah 28 and 22. I do not know what you're talking about, but I'm just going to take a moment here and see if I can hear it. 28 and 22, okay?
Yeah.
Is that it? 28 and 22. Now therefore be you not mockers, lest your hands be made strong, lest your bands be made strong. Sorry, not hands, but bands. For I've heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. That's nothing but the gripping of Satan's evil and dark powers and just wickedness. And it's consuming people. You see their bodies falling apart with wickedness. And you live an ungodly life. You smoke and drink and cuss and swear, and it consumes you. And that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, I think it's got it again in Isaiah 10.
I won't read it but one place, that's all. But thank you for calling, sir. That's a good point. No question about it, friend. You will be consumed by wickedness. You'll be consumed by the dark powers of Satan. I see people all the time. You can look at them and tell they're consumed. They're just in bad shape. The world has just taken them to task. You need to understand, friend, sin never pays. Sin doesn't pay in this life, and it don't pay in that life. Wicked living doesn't pay in this life, it don't pay in that life. Drinking booze, drinking liquor, drinking wine, taking drugs, smoking, all those habits of bondage that people take on into their life, people living in fornication, people living in adultery, people living in sodomy, all of those sins consume you. They take hold of you. You were created to be a clean, righteous person. You were created to live holy. God made you in His own image. Think about this now. God made you in His image. God made you like He is, to a degree. I mean, we're not divine like God is, but we are a being like God is, and He made us in His likeness. And you need to understand that. It is very important. You on the air? May I help you, please?
Hey, Brother Chambers. Early in the program, you mentioned something about Voltaire.
Voltaire.
Yeah, I'd like to mention something that you probably heard that he said. When he was alive and doing well, he said within 200 years, the only Bibles on the earth would be in the back of some museum covered up in dust. Well, he died, and the very home that he lived in became a factory to manufacture Bibles.
Yes, I've read that. That's a beautiful story. Beautiful story. That's been true with all the wicked people, my brother. I mean, nobody that lives a wicked life, they can say whatever they want to say. They can put down the gospel. Look what's happening right now with our president and Hillary. Look what's happening with the Democrat Party. They have become the Antichrist Party. They are determined to strip the Bible from America. They're determined to strip it out of everything. Look at what they're promoting. Look right here in Mecklenburg County. The teachers are not going to be able to say boys and girls in school this year. They backed up on some of the stuff, but they can't even use the term boys and girls. It's got to be students or scholars, something like that. I mean, these people are insane. It is insanity. It really is insanity. And that's what sin does to you. And that scripture I just read, consumption, it is consuming. And poor Hillary, you can look at her and tell she's a physical wreck. And it's sin that's consumed her. It's sin. Many people say she's a lesbian. I don't say it, but I do consider it's a possibility and very likely. But it's a crazy world out there.
I know. And if you remember, 4 years ago at the Democratic Convention in Charlotte, they said, we don't even want God in this party. You remember that?
Absolutely. Both Israel as a nation and a people, and God as a person, and the Bible as a book. They want none of neither one of those three.
Well, they're all crazy, all I can tell them, and they better wise up.
Well, they're not going to wise up. Most of them have gone too far. Anybody can repent who sets their heart to repent. But when you get so far away as they have gotten, there isn't much repentance. Thank you for calling, sir, and God bless your heart. God bless your heart. What a program. I don't know about you, but I have felt the sweet Holy Spirit. I felt the anointing of God's Holy Ghost. And I want you in church tomorrow. I want you right here at Paul Creek, 5110 Tuckasegee Road. If you're not saved, you've never been born again, you're living in some kind of sinful life, whether it's sodomy or adultery or fornication, if you're just bound by alcohol or drugs, I want you to know Jesus will set you free. I want you to understand Jesus will set you free. And I'd love to have you. 5110 Tuckasegee Road. Now, I'm going to put up the phone number again. You grab it real quickly, will you? Write it down and you call the ladies right here and they will send you a free copy of this booklet on this very subject today. I hope you'll come be with me tomorrow. I would love to have you. School, don't forget our Christian school, one of the best in Charlotte, right here at Paul Creek Christian Academy. And go to our new website about Wednesday or Thursday. Okay, www.paulcreek.org, www.paulcreek.org, and be in church with me tomorrow. Hear Brother Joseph Gans, a fine young man, preach this glorious word. I love you. I really do love you, my friends. You are important to me. You are very important to me, and I love you with all of my heart. Amen.
Fish and some bread, and see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to the land that could lead, hear the dumb that can speak,
and see the multitudes of people